We had some good preaching. Amen. 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 Go with me now. Matthew chapter 24. Starting at verse 36. Hear these words of our Lord. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O King Jesus, we are expecting you. You have already shown up, and we eagerly await your coming. Lord, allow your people to hear this day what you have prepared. For I have this treasure in this broken earthen vessel. The excellency is of you, O God. It has nothing to do with me. Do what only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So again, it was good to have 3 weeks off to get ready for Advent myself and what it means for Christ to come again. We start the liturgical calendar. We start with Advent, the coming or the appearing of Christ, whose birth we prepare to celebrate yet again, sometimes with a little bit too much excess, who comes continually in word and spirit, and whose return and final victory we hold with great expectation. But like many of you, I was not raised in a church that followed the liturgical calendar. I was not familiar with Advent until I went to that school over there, you know the one, and became Methodist. I did not have an appreciation or grow up thinking about what it meant for Jesus to come again, in this manner, to have that be a part of my Christmas story. But I did, however, have some other leanings. I was raised with the knowledge of the rapture, of this concept of the catching up. It became popular in my teenage years and my adolescence. Y'all know that Left Behind series. I looked it up. There was actually 16 books. That's a lot of books about this one topic. There were 3 movies, I've seen them all, and they even did a reboot. The frenzy that came about from Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins, it was solidified in most evangelical circles. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, good. It's all right. It's all right, you don't need to know. Dispensationalism, pre-trib eschatology, apocalypse. See, I can't even say it all, y'all. It was a lot that was going on, and you had to know it all. Yeah. to be a good Christian, or perhaps you would be left behind. So I'm going to tell you a story of a 22-year-old who was trying her best to live for God in a legalistic, conservative, fundamentalist upbringing. The anxiety and the fear. 22 years old, y'all. I had to pray and repent even if I kissed somebody. And there in my mother's home, with my grandmother, I realized I was watching TV and I didn't hear my grandmother any longer. She should have been upstairs in her room, not able to get around as much, but still able to move. So I got concerned. I went upstairs to see what was going on, and no grandmother. Y'all know the first thing I thought. So take a moment. My heart is arrested. But this can't be. So let me look. Grandma? Grandma, I mean, the house is not that big, maybe 1,600 square feet. Where could she have gone if not for being raptured? Y'all laugh now. It wasn't a funny matter. I was freaking out in anxiety. Oh my God. And as I began to scream, Grandma, louder and louder, running through the house, my grandmother finally got to the sliding door and the deck that she had stepped out to just get a little evening breeze and said, "What is wrong? Why are you screaming for me this way?" The frenzy, the fear, the anxiety, the anxious theology around the parousia, the coming back of our Lord. I am not the only one who have had this experience. Many of my clergy friends and I laugh about it now. Perhaps that's why we all went in ministry. We can laugh about it now, but at the time, it was no laughing matter. I began to contemplate, especially while I was in divinity school, what does it mean to wait for Jesus to come again? What does it mean to have a peaceful expectation? Because the Prince of Peace does not mean for folks to be yelling and running around their house in that manner. What does it look like to live, as Karl Barth, the great theologian, said, between times, between the inauguration of the kingdom in the time of its consumption? I am not the first to ponder or even to have a little anxious frenzy around this. In our text this morning, Jesus is actually answering a question that the disciples, probably in fear and some anxiety, pose in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Tell us. We need to know, Rabbi. Jesus answers like this. No one knows the day or the hour, not the angels, not even me, only the Father. Think if I or many of us would have went through that left behind period in humility, but in full assurance that no one can know. We don't get to carve out what is going on with Israel and is that going to mean the start of the tribulation. We don't get to do that. No one knows the day or the hour. It is with humility that we can see what is going on in the nations. It is with assurance that we can fulfill the Great Commission, that we are supposed to be going out to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, not worried about when he is going to return, but knowing he will return and hopefully find a bride doing what she's supposed to do. Live fully, fulfill the mission, eat, drink, be merry. Go in the field, do all of the things, grind the meal. When and how he returns is not our concern. That should bring us some peace. It is the Father's business. That is for the Father to know. We get to live in the light of the truth that he will return. We are to live in the light of the revelation of Jesus' birth and perfect life and death and resurrection. That alone should occupy our great imaginations. My concern is how to live in the face of that truth. Busy with the mission of making disciples, I pray we all will be busy with that mission. But we hold that intention. We hold that intention with the second portion of this scripture. Keep awake. See, we could get so busy, wrapped up doing our thing, eating and drinking and being merry, and forget why we're actually here. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, since that's the truth of the matter, therefore you must also be ready. Be ye ever ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Stay ready. So you don't have to get ready. But I always looked at this. To whom will the return of our Lord, the one of justice and peace, righteousness and holiness, to whom will it be when he returns like a thief breaking in? Think about that. What kind of lives are we living that on the day that he does come again, it will be like a thief breaking into our house? This speaks to the evaluation that we all must have of ourselves, not of the other, but for yourself. Look at the plank in your own lives, the planks in your own eyes before you remove or even try to see properly the speck in your brother's. How are we evaluating our lives? By what measure do we call sin? Cages with children in them, the way that we treat folks who love differently than theologies have told us they are not to, how we still have in America the most segregated hour where we are supposed to be worshiping God. Maybe that is the measure. So if he was to return, would it be like a thief, or would it be a welcomed assurance? As I was going back through this, I realized Jesus started off telling us that he doesn't know and the angels don't know and we won't know. So he said, you must understand this. Be ready. But embedded in that readiness, I find the Son of Man saying that he is staying ready too. Jesus himself is staying ready for when he will return. He doesn't know, and he died for us, y'all. That's a love we really can't comprehend. We talk about it, but we really don't comprehend it. So it is in our Lord's vested interest to help us stay ready. the power of the Holy Spirit, the ongoing Spirit of Jesus, which he left behind to make sure his bride was ready. We don't have to do this. We're not expected to do this in our own strength. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can stay ready. Only by the power of God, the peace that passes all understanding. So as I was preparing this, every time I would type, I'd have to stop and cry and come back. Stop and cry and come back, because I realized as I reread this portion of scripture how it was a text of terror for me. The 22-year-old screaming and the house is still in there. What if you come back and I'm not ready? My theology, though, the way in which I think about God has caught up with me. And I had to do some about face. So that Spirit, that Holy Spirit that is making us all ready, whispers to us, isn't my grace sufficient for you? Is it not me who is working out all that is not like Christ in you? And all you have to do is yield. I will do the rest. See, the Son is making his bride ready. That is a peaceable expectation, not an anxious, fearful frenzy. As I ponder why this lectionary text is for Advent, I think about Israel. We must not forget Israel, that we get to walk into their story, their expectation for their Messiah. And we get to understand that that expectation was realized on Christmas Day. And although it may not be December 25th, we believe that the Lord came and fulfilled God's promise. That should be consolation for us all. This has been done before, y'all. He was promised and he came. Some got it and some didn't. But the Holy Spirit has now been poured out upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Listen to what they have to say. Emmanuel, God is here. God is with us. God has come to us, and God will come again. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for new ways of thinking of you. Your grace is sufficient. We pray for a peaceable expectation, peace that passes all understanding, even as we stay ready so we don't have to get ready. Oh God, I pray for each one of your children that are gathered here, that their love for you and their acknowledgement of your love for them would lead them to peace that passes all understanding, even as they evaluate themselves and reevaluate themselves and yield to the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.